Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective, and more affordable than you might think. Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
To declare your independence on the Free Talk Live Network.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
No fear here and declare your independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, coming at you from Spavinaw, Oklahoma, at MidFest, the Mid-Continent Freedom Festival, where we're just yakking it with interesting individuals. And we're getting some new people. You know, there's a lot of regular people that have come in, people we've talked to. Now, Dave Colopi, he and I have met and had dinner, got to meet his family and so on. He came out here from Los Angeles a few years ago.
California. I mean, I remember trying to put in or wanting to put in a ham radio tower, a small one, you know, and they had all these regulations. And I think it was going to cost me like $1,100 like just to ask the county for permission
to ask,
you know, and they might say no. Yeah. You know, and I was like, I don't know, just kind of said a lot right there.
I'm going to be I'm not even begging for forgiveness. I'm just ignoring. You know? But the when you come out here. You mentioned freedom cells as a mechanism that you played with when you were in California.
Yeah.
You know, tell me about that. How'd you come across that, and why would you even do it?
Oh, well, you know, when the whole COVID scenario was really, you know, taken off and it didn't seem like it was going to get any better, which it didn't for a few years there, I try to remember how exactly I stumbled upon it. I think I'd heard of it, and then somewhere, maybe Telegram. You know, I looked it up, and I showed up at one. I think it was in Santa Clarita, and I met this really cool guy, Art, and some other people that were in there, and they were just, like, wonderful people, you know, really, you know, had each other's backs. You know, we were really trying to do the, you know, try to live our lives normally and just be a kind of a beacon for people who
in the middle of COVID.
So yeah.
That was kind of the rallying cry or something.
Right, right. And, you know, I can't even tell you how many times people, you know, not fights we got into, but it, you know how it is. You walk in a place without a mask or something and someone just wants to give you a hard time and, you know, it's just.
You know,
stupid.
I never confronted them. I just, like Donna, she just kept walking. You know, you got to tackle me, you know? And I'm just like, okay. And I turn around and walk out. You know, I'll go over here. Heck, we'd stop places with the bus just to go into a Cracker Barrel because we knew they were going to kick us out. So we'd go to the, you know, the whatever little mom-pa thing next door. Ha-ha, we're here because they won't. And we just did it as entertainment, you know, just because don't care. But the have a story to tell. But it is... The attitude here, wasn't there a bunch of you got a mask up government employees where how come you don't have a vax people in Oklahoma?
By the time we got here, there wasn't really a whole lot of that. You know, you'll still see the stragglers with, you know, walking around outside with a mask or, you know, in Walmart or sometimes even in cars here in Oklahoma. It's rare, but they're still out there. But nobody was really enforcing anything. We got here, it was... It was really normal. It was incredibly normal. In fact, when we went to Arizona on a trip somewhere, I think it was maybe the summer of 2020, you know, going to Arizona was just amazing compared to how California was at the time. And then when we came back, we were just dreading that ride coming back. And we just knew like 100%, like we're just, no more complying with anything. We're just going to play hardball.
Well, your wife working for the city of Los Angeles, they have conversations with her.
I can't get into too much detail with that because there's still some pending things with
pending.
That. But she tried to be reasonable. She just felt
there's no reason.
Yeah, you can't reason with people that aren't going to be reasonable about anything. You know, we just. You know, it's our bodies, you know, our lives. We felt that the imposition was just way overstep.
Well, I mean, enough that you moved. You changed. Unfortunately, your children are young. They don't know any different. You know, they're like, ooh, more grass. Yay. You know?
Right.
We get to have white Christmas. But the people that you were, you know, kind of talking to, your neighbors, fellow employees, you know, or workers, and how did you argue with them that you were taking this position to the point you were moving? I mean, did you have family there?
No, not really so much in the way of family. We were kind of on our own, in our own island, away from pretty much all our family. They're kind of spread out over different parts of the country, but yeah, when it came to the others, I mean, we had, you know, some friends that were, they'd kind of bend things a little more in private, but we just felt like really alone in this, this battle against, it's like Invasion of the Body Snatchers, you know, like, where'd everyone go? Like, do I know you anymore? When we said we were leaving, we had somebody, a friend of ours, you know, she thought we were moving to this place called Tehachapi, which was over in Kern County, which we used to like to go to. It was just one of those places where it was way more lax. So, you know, once every week or two, we would drive an hour and 5 hour, 10 minutes to Tehachapi, to this coffee shop where we were actually treated normally. They're like, wear a mask.
In California.
Yeah, wear a mask, don't wear a mask, we don't care, you know. And it just feeling some normalcy was great. And then coming back. But, yeah, when we said we were going, I mean, because people were like, you know, well, you know, you're gonna get your shots and you're gonna follow along, right? Eventually, right? Because they're gonna fire you. You know, you're gonna be gone. And we're like, no, we'll just sell and go. Like it was that quick of a decision. Like, we're not gonna do this. We'll cash out everything we can, and we'll get the hell out of here.
You know, there's a lot of, when you're dealing in a place, especially like California, I mean, what is the draw? And it's Southern California is probably the biggest thing. It's nice weather. You know, it's like Arizona. I mean, it's a desert.
Right.
You know, LA is a freaking desert, you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't know that. It's a desert with oil rigs.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know there's a lot of oil rigs, you know, in LA too.
Yeah.
There's really no draw other than, I guess, the beach, or if you live on the beer, you got your...
If you want to get through the traffic and pay all the whatever.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we kind of stopped going mostly to the beach. I like to surf, so I used to go to the beach, you know, like super early in the morning, you know, once, you know, on a weekend, a lot of weekends for a while there, and it was great, you know, like just getting out there surfing.
Now, they arrest
the crowds.
People who go out and surf.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, I saw a guy paddleboarding, and they stand on the beach and arrest him for paddleboarding by himself out. And I'm like, you know, this is stupid is as stupid does, and there doesn't a whole bunch.
Yep.
So I'm like, no, this is – no, that's not going to go well. So you're here. You hooked up with Freedom Cells here, or just the local community with Mike and stuff?
You know, we kind of mix it up a bit. I mean, there's Freedom Cells, there's, you know, just various circles, you know.
You know,
call
I know,
them allies. Or
I know Derek and John, well, Derek Bros, John Bush, and
mm-hmm.
Derek really is pushing the Freedom Cells.
Right.
And I hear that a lot. A lot of people did that. It's really not organized from a central command anywhere or something. It's just you join the Freedom Cell somewhere around you, and people have, you know, how does it self-regulate? Do you like, man, I don't like this cell, I'll go to this one?
I suppose you could. I think they say, like, you know, it's best to create them in groups of like eight mm-hmm. individuals or eight families.
Yeah.
Tends to work the best that way. I like the whole concept of just, you know, exit and build. You know, it's like homestead, you know, create your own counter economics, trade amongst each other.
Everybody's buying up goldbacks here.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah,
goldbacks is a thing. I could see that coming. I
love it.
Yeah, I bought a bunch from L and from Mike, just to start using. I have some. I need to get, more before they're $1 billion. Oh my God, gold going up. But the to use in the community that we're in now and start to introduce that and everything, has it become used? I mean, how are you guys making use of the goldbacks here?
Well, I'm just kind of collecting them right now. I every time I think about
you
using
hodler.
Them, then I'm like, I've I've got to give some up, you know. But I'm kind of keeping them mostly for when certain things hit the fan type scenario and we need stuff to trade with. But I'm trying to also. Did you hear about the ATMs? They have the gold back ATMs
here.
Well, not here, but in general, I guess they're
awesome.
It's a thing, right?
Awesome.
I'm trying to see if I could maybe get into that space.
That
a
would
bit.
Be that would I would I think that would be a thing, because this is, you go to like Dubai or something, Saudi Arabia, they got little grams and ounces of gold you buy at vending machines. So I'm going, okay, somebody better be guarding that vending machine. But the gold backs are, that is really cool that you could just get them out. Why not? I mean, it's just gold.
Right.
It's gold and plastic. What do you care?
Yeah, people don't fully understand. It's just like having, or a lot like having, like just bills in your wallet, carrying around. I mean, but one gold back, I think, is worth currently, five USD, maybe?
Yeah, it's like $5 that it trades at. It used to be four, now it's up to five. But the actual gold that's in it is probably now about, maybe $3 or something like that. But that's a premium you have for having a convenient bill.
Right.
You get
it's
that.
It's more than gold.
Yeah, you got to pay that much freaking just to get the gold anyway. Yeah,
it's a gold plus a technology that makes it so you can pass it around very
easily. It's going to be a thing.
Yeah.
And I'm, but this is why I have $70,000 hoodies and stuff in my closet for Bitcoin, because we were of the mind that you have to spend it. It had to be used in commerce. We did. Plus, I wanted to kind of push it, and I couldn't buy them faster than I could spend them, So I'm not filthy, stinking, crypto rich, but the unless you want my hoodies, but the it was our mindset. We understood that use of it is what was going to give it its value, and I see the same thing in goldbacks. I'll probably be the guy that, I wish I kept all my goldbacks, but you want to get it in commerce and have people use it, get it spread around.
Right, and that's why I think, having goldback ATMs in your community, that's a great way. Say you walk into your local hardware store, and in the corner there's this ATM, and maybe someone takes a closer look at it, and they're like, goldbacks, what the heck is this? And then you start spreading it around the community with the mom and the pops and kind of go from there.
And you're winning when it's the drug dealers and the hookers who are using goldbacks. I mean, that's a thing, So how to do that? Well, a lot of times people do it with waitresses. It's a tip. Explain it. Mike's really big on that. And a lot of the guys are. You got to kind of use it. So I'm seeing that as a technology. Crypto, it's very cool. There's some I like more than others, but all the government involvement and the ETFs of it and the GoldmanSachs.gov coin central bank digital currency thing, and then the wallets change all the time. The exchanges, have it or don't have it. You can liquidate one. It's still, it's a thing. I get some. I just kind of set them off to the side and check it later, and I go, woo, okay. Glad I kept that, but I'm not. It's not a. I don't see it as private, as certain, as immediate as something like a goldback or just silver.
Right.
So I'm thinking it's going to make a thing.
Yeah, and I kind of look at crypto kind of maybe, like more like long distance transactions.
Right.
Have more use case
online
scenarios.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love
definitely
it.
Definitely easy for that.
Right. It's great that we have these alternatives now, for trading things.
Right.
I love that. People are always coming up with new and inventive ways of money.
Freedom finds a way.
Yep.
Finds a way. So what's your plan for your land? You got how much? You got a couple acres or something?
Yeah, well, it's probably, I don't know, maybe pushing an acre and a half, depending on how you kind of measure it out.
Okay, well, I'm familiar. Yeah. We had, I think it was 1.78 or so. It was almost 2 acres.
Okay.
And I had one big field that was the 0.7, you know.
Yeah.
That it was cool for doing whatever, big soccer game or mm-hmm. baseball, grandkid, something. But all of our stuff, our aquaponics, the chickens, turkeys, goats, everything that we did, swimming pool, the home, the parties, was on about an acre. And I liked having almost 2 acres because it was kind of a buffer to the neighbors that had the same kind of thing in this area we were. It's like horse property thing. And I can see you got an acre, you can do a lot.
Oh, yeah.
You can feed yourself. You can have plenty. You can park your RV. I mean, you know, there's you get over an acre, you got something going on.
Right.
You have a couple of acres, even more. So you came in. How developed was it? What was the house like, and what have you done since?
Oh, kind of an older house, you know. It was in decent shape. You know, there's a few things that could have been done. So, you know, it's still got the old wood paneling that has been painted over, and, you know, some you know, wallpaper in one room that, you know, we would never necessarily have really chosen. But, you know, there's things like that. But we've been putting more effort into just becoming more, like, self-sufficient. You know, we've got well, we've got, you know, septic, a greenhouse is in there now. We've got our own power generation, you know, things like this. You know, it's really important.
Well, how much power are you generating?
We can generate, well, the solar panels will do a theoretical, I'd say, like 16 kilowatt.
Damn. Okay.
Yeah.
So you got enough generating.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's, that's under, like,
I mean,
the
most
ideal.
You don't have Phoenix sun, but I mean,
yeah, right.
You know, 16 is 16.
I mean,
that's a lot.
Most days, like now, like with the sun, I mean, it's powering the whole property.
Well,
and generating excess.
How much battery capacity you have?
It's near 30 kilowatt.
Okay, so you can charge from, like, dead, you're in a few hours.
Yeah.
So it's by noon, you're done.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's.
So you're doing an electric dryer in the afternoon.
Oh yeah, I mean
we got go dry your hair in the afternoon. We got woo, we're charged up. Everybody used the power.
It's been pretty easy to manage the power usage. I mean, that was just kind of common sense, you know, like. Is the sun shining? Is it, or is it nighttime? Or is it, you know, stormy? I mean, you know, there's all different ways.
Well, it's a lot of, on the grid. A lot of people, they, you know, they're miserly during the day or mm-hmm. during the morning when everybody turns on their coffee makers, and evening everybody's got their air conditioner and all that. When you're on solar, all that day usage is like, woo-hoo, man, powered it up, you know. And then at night when you start to wind down, you're just powering lights and the TV.
Pretty much, yeah.
You know, so it's really not that big.
The battery
a deal.
Takes over for the, you know, at that point for most of it.
Right.
But, you know, it's a hybrid grid system. So
you are selling to the grid.
Yes. The idea is that, you know, we use the best of everything to our advantage. All the excess that we generate, we just sell it back to the power company. And they give us credit for the following month on the bill.
So, well, are you coming out ahead, writing you a check?
Well, we're early into it. We're like kind of a few months into it right now with our system set up. So the first couple of months, you know, there was a lot of weird technical issues that we were trying to sort through, kind of, you know, dial it in just right. And it's like, oh, there's breakers on the sides of these batteries that were covered with this panel that we never saw. But, oh, that's why this one wasn't working for a couple weeks.
And, right.
You know, you try to go through, like, customer support sometimes, and, it, you know, you get the runaround, not really the runaround, but, you know, they're not where you are, so they only have so much troubleshooting ability. But
we kind of got educated, you know, with the Love Bus, you know, because it's a lot of the same systems mm-hmm. that we're doing, and just the understanding of how things work. And it's you can power just about anything. It's like, well, I need a mini split to cool the house and do it. Yeah, well, 5 panels will run that.
Yeah.
You know, done. What are you going to do? Are you going to cut down on buy 5 more panels that cost nothing, you know? They're getting cheap. It is amazing. I've been buying a lot of my panels. I have probably like 12 kilowatt power generation, which means more than you because I'm in Arizona. Get over it. But It's really not that hard or expensive just to upgrade. It's where you put them. It's the rack you build. It's how much land you have. Where do you mount yours?
Ours are up on top of our workshop. And we decided we're just going to max out the entire surface roof space for solar panels. So that's what we did. And, so far so good. In California, I don't know if you realize this, but we had solar at our house in California. And it's the regulation is it has to be grid tied. And you're always having to feed power to the power company. I think they buy it from you at a fraction of what they sell it to you back, right? And that's the way it works. And then, you get your system approved, and then let's say you want to add to it. You can't just add to it. You have to actually put in a second solar system with a second inverter to be able to do that.
Ridiculous, and we're done with California. So the time that you're spending on your property is doing, do you work or are you working on the property?
Well, the past 2 years, mostly we've just been digging in and working on the property. I'm kind of getting to the point where I'm circling back to, more of my projects, in the film world. And I kind of got into the financial side of things a bit. A little side gig I was doing for a long time, even in California, which was with this merchant account stuff, payment processing. So, my whole thing is, if you got to take credit cards, you want to take credit cards, e-checks, and you want to keep the most amount of money in your pocket and give the processors and the underwriting banks the least amount, I can work really great deals for that.
Yeah, I remember we talked about that before. That was your thing. The payment systems that they have now for credit cards, because I had various businesses, and there's always the credit card guy coming in, do you a deal.
Oh, it's a fierce competitive business.
That is why I bought the first chunk of my Bitcoin was in, I think it was 13 to 15, around in there, when they're at the Consumer Electronics Show, and I saw NCR, which makes point of sale machines, cash registers and so on, that they're going to be taking digital payments. And I go, here we go. Well, it's going to be central bank digital currency, and maybe they can do, and now it just went to, they just use their iPhone or a pad or whatever, and they just take digital and they can suck it, and somebody will set them up. But your credit card machines that you're doing, do you have or you see a future? Are they starting to be set up to take crypto?
I haven't personally seen much in the way of crypto with what I've been dealing with. It's really just straight up, credit cards. They're doing, things like, Apple Pay and the Google Pay and those kinds of things. But I haven't really seen much in the way of crypto.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
USA News Update. The U.S. reaffirming its commitment to Israel's security as stated by President Biden during his meeting with the Prime Minister of Iraq at the White House Monday. Biden emphasized that the U.S. and its allies assisted Israel in repelling Iran's recent attack over the weekend. Cities across the U.S. experienced organized protests against Israel Monday. The closure of the southbound lanes of the Golden Gate Bridge resulted in hours of traffic disruption. Protesters had also gathered on Wall Street in Manhattan, at the Port of Long Beach in California, California, and in other locations, and they had chained themselves to a Boeing plant in St. Louis, Missouri, and blocked an entrance to a jet engine plant in Middletown, Connecticut. Monday marked tax day, and according to the IRS, most taxpayers can expect to receive the refund about 3 weeks after filing. However, if you chose to file on paper or are waiting for a check rather than opting for direct deposit, the process may take longer. John Schaefer, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer, can communicate information, and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. GCNfood.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Dave Colopi, he and I have met and had dinner, got to meet his family and so on. He came out here from Los Angeles a few years ago. You have a community that trades in real money for, like, food and work and carpentry and, you know, help and landscaping, ranching, gardening, farming, something. I mean, is the alternative economy growing here at all?
You know, it is to a certain extent. I mean, we find that a lot here at MidFest. We have meetings in, you know, with people who are here with different circles that are in Tulsa. You know, usually like once a month we'll get together. And, you know, people speak. People have things for sale, you know, offers. And, yeah, that sort of that community, it's kind of like, you know, these circles kind of moving within each other that do that sort of thing. I haven't seen quite so much of that, like in sort of just like, you know, the community beyond sort of like the, you know, the freedom minded community. Although people here tend to be just in general more freedom minded anyway. So I think,
well, I'm certain, yeah, there's a bartering aspect of it. You know, Fred lends out his tractor for them to do some whatever for him if I need potholders. I mean, there's, you know, there's always that, and you have these small community parking swaps or weekend farmers market kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Do you attend those?
Yeah, we've gone to some farmers markets, and we try to go to community events, you know, different, you know, festivals. Like, they have the Dogwood Festival nearby. Mm-hmm. I believe this time of the year it might be next weekend or so.
When do the Dogwoods, is that spring or fall that the Dogwoods really do their thing?
I think that's, like, now.
Yeah, I remember right hiking now. One year here, and you find it's trees with little white flowers on them. They're almost like cherry blossoms or something.
Yeah, they're real pretty.
And it's, you know, you can tell it's a dogwood. It's nice. Because we're going to be looking for, you know, what plants, how we're going to do it. It's got to be Arizona friendly, you know, but lots of cactus. But I'm really looking forward to, getting closer to the soil. I mean, get grounded. I mean, literally, you know, you're working on the land. How much time do you spend on your land?
Oh, you know, just about every day. I mean, my wife, she's kind of like, you know, she's the lead on all that, you know, and I'm here, you know, what do you need help with, honey? You know, I come in and try to work it and, you know, chickens are over there. Go do that now. Okay. You know,
how many chickens do you have?
Well, we got about maybe 22 thereabouts.
Yeah, that's good enough. That keeps you in eggs.
Yeah.
You know, how ours in Arizona, we could have them lay pretty good year round, you know, as long as we kept misted in the summer and stuff. But they were about 18 hours per egg per chicken. You know, that's kind of how you can figure it out.
Right.
So in a 24-hour period, you kind of get, if you got, you know, 50 chickens, you'd wind up with, you know, in a 24-hour period at least, I don't know, 50, 60, 70. Yeah, I mean, it was a lot.
How do they do in the winter in Arizona?
What winter?
There you go. That answers the question.
Well, a lot of times they're supposed to be molting, I think, in the spring. So they just didn't. I mean, I don't know. They're molting. I don't see any. I didn't pay that much. That's why I like chickens. They didn't bother me. I didn't have to do anything.
Yeah.
You know, the grandkids went out and got the eggs. Donna took care of them and, you know, feed. And we just, they were on autopilot. I love chickens. I'm definitely getting chickens because I ain't got to do squat for chickens. Honey, I need you. No, nothing I got to do.
We're thinking about getting some guinea fowl next.
Why, for meat birds or something?
No, really for, like, tick control.
Really?
Yeah, I hear they're beasts when it comes to ticks. And they're pretty easy to take care of. They mostly take care of themselves. When they're young, they're really, I don't know, fragile from what I hear. You got to kind of get them through that period.
Yeah.
I mean, being out here, like, I originally grew up in the Northeast in New England. And, you know, we had ticks. You know, we had hot, humid summers, ticks, cold, brutal winters. And then I get really spoiled in SoCal for a number of years.
Right.
There's like, I'm like, where'd the bugs go? Like, there's hardly anything.
Well, that's one thing that I like about Arizona. You're not dealing with bugs.
Oh, I love that.
You know, bugs is not a thing. I had my sons, after they graduated high school, they took my car and said, you know, peace. Go explore America. And they went off 6 weeks the summer visiting family and friends and going to vacation on the coast with Donna's in-laws and kind of got to be free and do. And they got a dose of America. And I go, one thing, just keep in mind, when you're stopping, you're camping, it's afternoon. Oh, isn't it green? It's great. Bugs.
Yeah.
I go, you just want to go back to Arizona. Bugs, I will see you again. So they definitely got a dose of that. They paid attention to that. They're like, yeah, no, that sucks.
And I'm a big fan of the desert. You know, like, I love it.
It's clean.
Yeah, there's something about it.
It's irradiated. But it's really, I'm looking forward to it. There's only from like 10 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon for about 8-9 weeks, it's, oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, don't go out during that time.
Go from air conditioning to air conditioning, right?
I know. It's an air conditioning hop. You know, when they had an auto start on cars, and it's already air conditioning, I go, that's not summer.
Right.
Bunch of wimps, you know. But it's, I'm looking forward to it. We'll be documenting that. And I think it's going to be, where we're at, there's a lot of land. And Donna's a real estate agent. I just know there's going to be. It's already starting to see what's coming.
Did you know that we have desert here in Oklahoma?
Wouldn't surprise me. I don't know where.
If you go, I don't know, maybe, I don't know, 3-4 hours west of right where we are, there's some, I think they call it Little Sahara, a bunch of sand dunes.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it's supposed to be pretty wild. I haven't gone.
Out there are motorcycles?
Yeah, it's going towards the panhandle.
Yeah.
I think there's more in the panhandle or some kind of desert, but... I mean, we're in what we call a green country, right? So we're in the foothills of the Ozarks.
Green here.
Yeah. But Oklahoma has a lot of terrain and climate. It's really diverse.
Yeah, no, America's beautiful. We've been back and forth and back and forth across. There is not a shortage of land. There's not a shortage of resources. There's not a shortage of communities that are just outside of all the... You see on the news and the politics, and you know, over half the country is Yeah, you guys are just nuts, you know? So I can see when things go to crap, which it will, there's no getting past this debt thing and the dollar and all that crap. When it does, now some people are going to survive it, some aren't. And the ones that aren't, they might get violent. When you gotta feed your baby, you know, they you know, let's go get some. And so how is the defense or security mindset here, gun control or guns or...
Oh, you know, guns are just so common, you know. It's peaceful. You know, people, you just expect people to have...
Yeah, armed society, polite society.
That's the phrase I was trying to think of. Yeah, it's, you know, it's pretty cool. And, you know, one of the other things that I do that not everyone knows is dog breeding with Ambulnio Mastiffs. I don't know if you've heard of that breed, but they're a companion guard dog. And, you know, you get a 1, 2, or 3 of those, and you keep them on your property. And
3? A Mastiff is like, God, they get up 180 pounds or some crap, don't they?
Well, these will go, like the males will probably be in that, like, I don't know, 140 to 160 range on average.
Damn.
Females are usually 115, 130, maybe. You know, they're manageable. Like, they, you know, but it's, you know, it's
manageable with a with a club. You know, we are dogless for the first time in our whole my life. You know, we've always had dogs, and Don and I, we got them when the kids were really small. But our last dog, we put down here, as a matter of fact. It was last year, I think.
I remember that. That's when we had dinner, right? You were coming back from that, I think, right?
It was last year, a year before. Yeah, well, Donna did it.
Donna did it,
because I was like, I don't know, this dog put that down a long time ago.
Right.
Up to me. But it just, I'm like, man, you're being mean to that dog. I mean, come on. But so when it started to go out and they do the painkiller or whatever before they do the something, she said it was like, oh, thank goodness.
Right.
About time, man. Take the pain away. And but since then, because we've been so mobile and then the bus, and we get on the land, I wanted to have a real dog, not a little rat dog.
Right.
But it's what kind. And if it's going to go inside at all, I'm for getting a bigger poodle or a schnauzer or something that doesn't shed. I'm done with shedding.
Okay.
You know, no. Now, if we get a shedding dog, like I love German Shepherds, always had them. My son's got them. They're cool as heck. But, stay outside.
Well, I'll tell you what. You when you get a chance, or you take a look at ozarkambulnio.com. And so it's AMBULLNEO, ozarkambulnio.com. And when you're ready for one, you let me know.
Not. 100 and something pound. No. I mean, I don't need to be, unless I need it to pull my tractor or something. You know? Livestock and other animals, you got your dogs that you're working on, you have chickens, anything else?
Well, a couple house cats that we haven't seen, a mouse in the house for the last 2 years almost. And
I know they like that.
Yeah.
When I was a kid in Florida, you know, cats were not really even thought of as pets. And, you know, this cat lady apartment, you know, dwelling cat thing was totally new to me.
And mostly over here, I mean, people just, there's just a lot of, you know, farm dogs that just roam around and cats that are just, you know, kind of feral. And they're just, you know.
They know where they can get fed and they know where the meeses are. So this is, that's how we saw cats. Cats were rodent control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're lucky we let you, you know, stay here. And it's, you know, that kind of thing. But, and then, of course, you get a lot of fixing the cats because they all breed.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so if you're going to take any responsibility for the cat, you might want to, you know, neuter them or something. But there's a lot of benefit to having animals. Now, Mike has these big, what do they call, Pyrenees or something?
Oh, yeah.
Big white ones.
Yeah.
And, they just look hot all the time. You know, because they got a coat
a lot
on
of fur. Yeah.
Oh man, it's, you know,
I get hot for them just like looking at them.
a predator could even bite through their coat.
It's like 95 degrees and, you know, high humidity and you know, like walking up with that fur coat.
Suffering.
Yeah.
But the foliage around here, is there a lot of hunting? You get deer.
Yeah.
Things go to crap as, you know, get my hunting rifle there, hunt.
There's deer. There's lots of hunting. I mean, it's all big. I mean, it's, you know, we're in like the... just about the most northern part of the American South, you know. And I wasn't even sure when I got here. There was an old timer that came by, and I asked him. I said, "Hey, do you consider yourself a Midwesterner or Southerner?" And he said, "You know, he's probably 80 years old or something." He's thinking, "Huh, you know, no one ever asked me that before." I'm like, "Really?" He thought about it for maybe the better part of 10 seconds, and he said, "Southerner." So. Yeah.
Well, Missouri's right next to you, right?
Which is technically not part of the South. That's Midwest.
I have a friend that lives there. You know, there's a lot of people that come up from Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's people here from Arkansas.
South, right?
Yeah, Arkansas, definitely Southern.
Southern, yeah.
You know, even though it's not too far away, they got that Southern thing going on.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So that's a thing. And you have a lot of... a lot of ponds, a lot of water.
Oh, yeah.
Here you got a lot of dense trees and so on. So what do you think? People do pretty much what they want because they're out of sight from the trees, out of mind? Or is there a guy with a clipboard and a shiny badge got called by Karen coming and visiting there?
You know, for the most part, you know, if you're outside of city limits, people just leave you alone. There's no... I don't really see any enforcement for really anything. And it's just the general mindset. People just do what they do over here.
Well, they come in saying you didn't get a permit, and where's your fee of a little something for the home team?
No, not where we are. Like, we're right here in Cherokee Nation. But I think, you know, maybe it's different from county to county, but over here, I mean, it's pretty mellow.
Well, that was one of the draws for Mike. He was like, "Yeah, man, you're in the Cherokee Nation. Definitely leave us alone, you know."
Right.
The Americans will explain it to you. So it's I've really enjoyed our times. We don't really plan on coming to as many Midfests as we do. It's just that we're always either leaving Arizona April. You know, because it's summer,
right.
Or we're going back. It's October to get, you know, like Halloween. So we're always coming.
I've seen you every time.
We're always kind of come by. I think this year is the first year in, 15 years or something since 2008 that we have missed a pork fest.
Mm.
If we don't go, I mean, I keep saying that, and then we wind up going anyway. But you know, this is the first time that we've not gone to New England, and it's because we really need to get on our land. We just closed last month, and getting all ready for it and everything. Now, trigger pull, and we were going to hold off for the summer because it's just freaking the summer. And I'm going, you know, I don't think we can wait. I'm thinking things are getting stupid, and we need to get, you know, make use of the summer, suck it up, and get as ready as we can so that, you know, we can get, you know, going when it's – get it prepped for when it does cool down and we can, you know, enjoy the build. You know, we're at a stage that we can get a lot built.
Right.
You know, we get the infrastructure in. And like this little battery EcoFlow thing that I got here, I had to buy that just so I could have power to build my solar system, you know, out there. I got to have power, damn it, you know, and something. So, and then, of course, we got generators and all that kind of, but even I need that to build to where I'm going to put the generator. I mean, it's just, we're starting from scratch.
Right.
You know, and it's, what do we do first? The biggest thing is I got to, because it's, you know, heavy clay on the surface, I'm going to auger like 9-inch, 5-6-foot holes to put sand in so it charges, the water charges the land.
Yep.
So I can do trees. And if I don't get that ready now by the monsoon and the end of July, then I'll miss a year of charging the land. And I'm just like, nope, that's my goal. I got to get that done. But to do that, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get on it and try and suck it up, man. Suck it up.
Yeah, I think get on top of it now while you can.
Well, what do you think's happened? Is there a timeline? Are you seeing things that, as concerned as you were, that caused you to leave California with COVID and all that crap? What about that motivated you to move? I mean, did it tell you the character of government or that particular government or that area or something? What was it, other than just stupid crap, that scared you, that, you know, it's time to leave?
You know, for many years, you know, I've been sort of on the voluntarist philosophical tip. Yeah. And, you know, there wasn't a lot of that in California. I saw things getting worse, and I started actually planning well before COVID, a few years before COVID. Basically just, you know, networking with people, getting to know people, you know, some people in the area, but more outside the area. And, you know, it's kind of like there's a storm coming. You know, I don't know when exactly it's going to hit, but I can kind of feel it. To be honest with you, with COVID, you know, I did not see that particular aspect of the storm coming. I don't know if a lot of people did.
The vaccine thing is kind of, we anticipated that, but the lockdown and the COVID and the reaction and that kind of stuff, I didn't, that, you know, I don't usually get surprised, but that was like, whoa, man, they're right. Definitely on it now.
I could believe how long people, like, went with it. Like, I thought, you know, when they first started talking about, you know, oh, we're going to lock down, shut things down for a couple weeks, you know, that flatten the curve.
You love grandma, don't you?
I thought, well, this is kind of stupid, you know. I'll just chill out for a little bit, and surely after a week or two, people are going to, you know, snap out of this. Like, this, you know, this is like a form of suicide here for everybody. And, you know, 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, a month, you know, I think what really put me over the edge, sort of like kind of mentally, was, you know, we went through it for a while in California. And I think that summer of 2020, there was a period for a few weeks where things were like lightened up and everyone was sort of kind of feeling a little good again, kind of getting back into a little bit of normalcy. And then right in the middle of the summer, it was just like, bam, you know, governor comes in, locked down real hard again. LA County was one of the worst. LA City, LA County.
What do you think was really going on? There's something going on. I mean, there's something going on. What do you think it was?
As to why they're doing this?
Yeah, I mean, to do another lockdown, make you feared. You're not feared enough. Was it just to get the COVID injection numbers up? Were they getting a bonus? There was something going on.
Well, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of money. You know, these pharmaceutical companies are trying to find ways to push their products. We understand that vaccines are like some of those profitable ways that they can operate.
They don't have any liability.
Right, right. And if they can sort of, you know, force it upon you or coerce you and push it so hard, I mean, that's a lot of money to be made.
So how did your children, you know, fare? They probably, you're young enough, they don't give a crap. Where's mom, dad, a bed and a meal? I mean, you know, but the how did they adapt moving and coming out here? You got, what, 9 and 12? So are they making friends?
Yeah, it was sad to, you know, leave some friends behind. But, you know, from the beginning, they could see through. They could see through what was going on, too. And they were motivated to go. We sat together one night when we finally decided enough is enough. You know, they're really squeezing us out of here. You know, job is being threatened every day. And, you know, how many months could we go without, you know, regular income coming in to, you know, keep a roof over our heads and food on the table? We sat down as a family and we pulled out a big map. And we made a list of priorities and we said, all right, do we want to leave the country? And we talked about it. And this is going from, like, you know, from us right through down to the youngest kid. Mm-hmm. And who was, I think, maybe 7 at the time, just about to turn 7. Anyway, so we talked about, you know, do we want to leave the country? And we said, no, let's stay in the country. Okay, where do we want to go? And we looked at this map, and we looked at all these different states. And we had, you know, some working knowledge, but also there was a guide. It was a strategic relocation, I think. Was it Skousen?
Skousen,
right? We had a copy of that we were looking at, and we said, okay, how about this state? You know, yeah, check was yes, strong possibility. X was no, we don't want to go there. Question mark was maybe, you know, research a little more, we'll see. And then we kind of narrowed it down to Arizona. I really love the Northeast Arizona. That Heber snowflake area was really calling me.
Yeah, it's really nice.
We looked at Idaho, kind of like north central Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cold winters, you know, it's up there. But, you know, freedom. But it wasn't really, the paths trying to get to those places were just not opening up. So where else were we looking? We said, well, there's, you know, that guy there, you know, that we know, that our good friend Mike Swadek, you know, he seems like he really enjoys the area. He's a pretty cool dude, pretty laid back, and reached out to him.
Laid back Mike. Mike.
And he was sort of like, you know, hey, if we were going to go there, you know, where would you look? You know, I would look, you know, south of this area, west of here, and stay a few miles north of this. And he gave us sort of like a, you know, this area where we were trying to kind of target. And it just turns out, so we started looking there. And we found really two places. The first one, you know, he was our, you know, him and his wife, our foot soldiers for first
go
line
of
inspectors.
Look,
go take a look. What do you think? So they went out, they looked at one place over in Watts, Oklahoma. And he said, yeah, you know, it's kind of a little run down, really needs some work. And so we passed on that one, and then we found our second one. And he said, you know, for the price and what you get, and, you know, it's I think it's a really good buy. And his wife agreed. And we looked at the map, and it was really close to where he lived, surprisingly. So that just opened up. And we made the leap. I mean, we did our inspections from afar and did the best we could from afar. We didn't really have the time or the real, you know, money to be traveling back and forth.
You went to look at it with a U-Haul in the back of your car.
Oh, yeah.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.